Hello and welcome to Rad Rolls. This is the kind of prequel to our campaign 2 that we are launching in a few weeks. I have a small cast of our normal guests here, and we'll be getting more as we go along each week. But before we begin the campaign as a whole, I wanted to build a world unique to Fallout for this campaign too. We had done New Orleans, which was kind of like a dream of, oh, I would love it if there was a Fallout game in New Orleans. This campaign, I wanted to be specific to us. I wanted this to be a core group effort of coming up with this world. And so we're going to start with a different kind of game. This game is called The Quiet Year. And it's before we get to Fallout 2D20 and play all that, we're going to build the world together. And it's going to be done in a few different parts. So this first episode is going to be covering some of the basics of the world. And then as we get more people in, we're going to start creating a lot of different scenarios, building out locations, doing a lot of this stuff, and then like wrapping it back up in a cloud of mystery together that we'll go and explore. So what is A Quiet Year? The Quiet Year is a map drawing game. Together you play as a community rebuilding after the collapse of civilization. Your decisions will define the values and future of this community, and these decisions will get added to a map which is constantly evolving. This map blends literal cartography with symbols, creating a rich visual record of land and people. Players collaborate to steer the fate of the community while also including problems and tensions along the way. What do you need to play The Quiet Year? The Quiet Year is a game that's going to take 2 to 4 players. I think by the end of this, we'll probably have 5 or 6 players. 3 to 4 hours. So I would budget probably it'll be on the 4 hour side because we're really going to go through it all. In addition, you'll need a blank piece of paper to draw the map. That's digital. A few pens or pencils, a couple of index cards, 6 small dice, 20 contempt tokens, a deck of Quiet Year cards, and the turn summary card. So all that supplies is actually digital for us here at Rad Rolls. We're living in the future. But we're going to go ahead and move on to preparing your space. So we've cleared our table of space of any unnecessary objects. I feel like that this guide that I'm reading is really putting us in a meditative stance. So I hope everybody's feeling real relaxed.
Namaste.
Namaste. We've separated our deck into 4 suits, each in its own stack. And we're pasting a blank piece of paper in the center of the table. This will be available for you pretty much once we finish this first little piece of it, along with all the supplies that we talked about. So a full-length game of The Quiet Year can take up to 4 hours, and if you prefer to play a shorter game, we're not. You can remove 5 cards from each shoot, but make sure you have certain cards in there. So we're going to be playing the full game. We're going to be playing all of the suites of cards that we have, all the different scenarios, all the different situations. So chapter 2 is surveying. So for surveying, the opening story is going to differ from what we have listed in The Quiet Year. What we're going to start this community in is the bombs dropping. So at the end of the, or beginning, both the end and the beginning of the Great War, bombs drop and fall in America. They fall on a lot of the major resources that we have, a lot of the major cities. They're dropping everywhere, creating the world that we know as Fallout. It's completely and totally decimates a lot of the population, except for those people, as we know, that went on to survive in the vaults. But the thing about the bombs dropping is sometimes they're going to miss places. One of the places that they ended up missing is actually at the geographic center of America. Like, if you chase the north, south, east, west points and just put lines to the center of America, it creates a small space in Kansas that our game will be taking place. Now, this small town of about 3,000 people in Kansas, they are a... tourist trapping kind of zone. Like, this town would not exist if the Geographic Society decided that there was like a Four Points, the United States, and this is where they all connected. Like, it is a town based around that single fact. That some like touristy, kitschy kind of like American, like colonial, maybe Civil War, maybe like the you know, those 1800s, like technology, you know, World's Fairy type folks have come in. Like, it's kind of like a really rinkadink cultural center of America, in the definition and the literal sense of it. So that's kind of the opening, is the bombs dropping. So I have listed on here that we have a map. So before playing, we're going to establish some landscape. And as we play, we're going to update this map to reflect new discoveries, conflicts, and decisions. The map will blend literal cartography with symbols. We won't write words on it, but like common symbols are fine. So you're not going to say, oh, this is a road, so I'm going to draw a line and say road. You're just going to draw the road, or you're just going to draw the castle or whatever. We'll all take turns drawing on this map, so you don't have to worry about drawing well. Every drawing is good enough, so listeners at home will be able to see this drawing if they go to our YouTube, but you'll also be able to see it based on, I'm going to save it kind of after every suite, after every part of the game that we go through, so you can see the evolution of it all. The turn summary card explains how play works from week to week, and we'll go over that soon. The dice that we use in this game are actually project dice. When our community starts a project, we'll place one on the map to note how many weeks it will take to finish. Each week, the dice tick down by one. When a die reaches zero, the project is complete. You have contempt tokens. Contempt tokens represent the simmering tensions in the community. And so what that means is, if you as a player disagree with somebody else does, or you say, oh, that's like going to cause some trouble for what I think is in the community, you're going to use that contempt token, and we'll get to that later. The deck of cards represents our quiet year. Each suit is a season. So I think, you know, spades, hearts, clubs, that kind of stuff. It's really spring, summer, winter, and fall throughout the year. This season will go through up to winter. And in winter, when the King of Spades is drawn, there will be a nuclear fallout that happens. That means a year has passed, and as the bombs expand, a storm will come that will bring nuclear fallout to the area and make it uninhabitable. So it is key what the community does within this first year. So I have magically, by the power of the internet, shuffled our cards, and we're going to talk about our role. When we play the Quiet Year, we don't control specific characters or act out scenes. Instead, we all act as abstract social forces within the community. At any point, we might be representing a single person or a great many. This is a story about the social forces and their impact on the land, rather than being about specific individuals. At the same time, we're playing as the community, so we're also looking for opportunities to introduce new and interesting challenges into the story. It is our job to make sure that there are always difficult decisions being made and uncertainties to be explored. As we introduce interesting challenges for the community and then figure out how to address them, tensions will emerge that ultimately reveal the character and future of our community. So before the first week of play, we establish a general landscape for our map. This begins with a brief discussion about the general terrain and habitat. This can all be as simple as saying, how about a community in a rocky desert? And everyone is nodding in agreement. Once we agree, each of us introduces one detail about the local terrain and then sketches it onto the map. These sketches should be rough and simple, leaving lots of blank space for additions during play. The community itself should be fairly large on the map, perhaps taking up one third of the sheet. Usually the community has around 60 to 80 members. For the sake of this game, I'm saying 2,000 to 3,000 people. If you look at US Census information for like small towns that have, you know, resources that have stuff, generally 2,000 to 3,000 people is a pretty good estimate. So what we're going to do is we're each going to go around and we're going to start playing the game. So each of you come up with an idea for a terrain that you would like to add, explain what it is, and draw it on the map. So what you're going to draw on the map is on the left-hand side, the paintbrush there. That's your drawing implement. You can zoom in and out to make it more detailed, more fine. That is your drawing implement. If you look on the map at hand, the circle is the community. So that is where the community is centered. I haven't drawn anything yet, but that is where the community is.
Dave, can you drop us onto the map page? We're currently looking at the landing page.
Just some.
I can do that for you. Yeah. Dink. There you go.
Oh, a circle.
Wow. There's ominous circle on a blank map.
It's very intimidating.
Jared, do you wanna go off? Start us first. I feel like I've been talking after everybody. Do you wanna draw in a little? It's a terrain or landscape that you think would exist.
Yeah. So we're talking Midwest, and we want some type of unique landscape. So our community is kind of developed as sort of a touristy trap. There's probably, you know, maybe an interstate goes through here, maybe like a Route 66 type thing, where it's in the middle of nowhere. And my apologies to anyone who lives in the Midwest. One of the first things that came to mind was like a salt flat. So similar to what you see like in, you know, like New Mexico or anything like that, maybe just an old ocean bed or old seabed that's dried up and just has, you know, a ton of salt deposits, plenty of like sodium chloride, maybe some other like crystalline stuff, but it's just maybe some folks go out there to like drag race or something, who knows, but it's just, you know, like an old sort of just salt flat. Now, I'll try to draw that someplace, but, you know, we'll see what we can do.
You can do your best. I like that idea.
My best is pretty terrible because I'm no artist.
I want to go to a salt flat sometime. I think that would be, you know, I mean, I don't want to spend like, you know, a whole week in a salt flat, but I would like to go see it. You're trying to be fancy with this drawing. I can already feel it.
It's a salt flat. Just make it flat.
Yeah, well, I'm getting there.
Look at that. That's a nice salt flat.
And we got to get the cracks in there.
Oh, dang. Look at him. He's zooming in. He's getting those cracks in the salt flat. He's making it nice. That's good. I like that.
And I don't know about giving it any depth or anything, but we'll, I don't know. Let's see here. I don't like that. Don't like that. We'll stick with that for our soft flap because eventually we've got to get 50 plus details in here. So I don't need to get too.
Yes, I agree. All right. Cody, you're up next. Give me a piece of landscape.
Ooh. I don't know if so much as like landscape, but it's abandoned at least. But I'm thinking like a lot of small towns end up kind of, they were like these destinations because they had some sort of like manufacturing that was happening there. And for whatever reason, that manufacturing had to stop. So what I'm imagining is some sort of, I don't know, maybe like a textile mill kind of situation. Where they had like this huge sort of factory that was producing a lot of goods, and for whatever reason it closed down, and now it's sort of this like ominous building that's kind of just on like the horizon from like the main town. A lot of people used to work there, but if you're like in the main town, you just see the smokestacks. Right. So, a lot of the rest of the building has kind of obscured by other things, but no matter where you are in town, you still see the smokestacks of like this abandoned factory.
So was it like rendered redundant maybe or obsolete?
Something like that. Just for whatever reason, it had to close down. All the jobs sort of went with it. And that's how sort of the town got.
It's like the Midwest dirigible. About it
a little bit.
The dirigible factory or something like.
I don't know how to draw, so we're gonna just
do yourself like a cube. All right.
See what he's doing. He's getting in there. He's doing it.
There you go.
You did it.
Something like that.
You did it. Yeah, I like that. I think that's an interesting piece of, like, you know, because think about how much like Rust Belt stuff, like how that becomes a part of the landscape. Like when you're
exactly
talking about it, like that becomes almost like a feature. But like, don't go there. You know, it's like urban hiking. Like if you think about that, it's like
only ne'er-do-wells go over there.
Exactly what I'm thinking. It's been abandoned for long enough that it's no longer like a place in town. It's just a feature of the landscape in the surrounding area.
Like no trespassing signs, like hundreds of yards before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, this asteroid belt of like broken glass beer bottles as you get close to it. Yeah, like I dig it.
I like that. I think so. I've been thinking about landscape and like what would make the most sense for Kansas. I don't think we have a lot of mountains out that area, but sometimes there's just like, you know, like a rock formation. And when I talk about this rock formation, I don't want to be like, oh, it's like a giant, like people are gonna like professional climbers are gonna have to climb this. It's like, no, it's a rock formation that like if you are a teenager you could probably climb up, but it's like tall enough so that like it's as tall as like, oh, maybe like a 3 or 4 story building, but it's like
so a weird protrusion like on an otherwise very flat surface.
Right. It's like somebody dumped a bunch of boulders here back in like a very old.
Okay. Yeah. Like, you know how like
a Dolly Sods kind of area,
like Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum was made out of like river rock. Yeah. And then like, uh-oh, we have excess. Well, we got to put it somewhere.
I like it. But the thing is, unfortunately, where this is located is not at the very... It's located actually in town, but it's, you know, it would be a good place when the geographers go there to, like, actually, like, find what the center of America is. And unfortunately for them, it's slightly off-center. This like giant pile, like tower.
Oh
like,
gosh! So it just coincidentally was like the center point, and now it's sort of the unofficial, like marker of
right. It's just like a pile of rocks that just kind of like is like a tower down here in this part of the map, and it's like they have denoters for like. So if you go to Key West and you go to the most southern point of the United States,
Like mile zero.
And it's like, oh, yeah, this is the most southern point of the United States. But just kidding. That's actually not the most southern point of the United States. Geographically, that's actually on a military base that's in Key West. And nobody's allowed to go there. So they have like the touristy most southern.
This is where the Instagram pictures would be.
Yes. This giant pile of rocks. it would be it.
Have people defaced the rocks like, you know, how any other type of natural, like have people spray painted them or carved like, you know, DC loves, you know, like.
Yeah, maybe that's the case on like some of them is like somebody's like made it into an art project and they're like, oh, who's the artist for this? And the people are like, oh, we don't remember.
We don't talk about them.
Right. Okay, I think we should do another piece of landscape. Does anybody have any ideas? I think one more piece would be good.
I've got a great one.
All right.
I was listening. One of the things, I have a long commute, and I listen to a few different podcasts and things like that, and I really like these like disaster podcasts, and they can be like different kinds, plane crashes and things like that. But been really into caving accidents lately.
Okay.
And one of the ones that really stuck with me, it's this place called The Shaft, and it's in Australia, and essentially what it is it's this hole in a farmer's field, and it drops down like 23 meters, and then it's this huge underwater or limestone cavern that's filled with water. That's just so, and it goes down like 500 meters or something absurd like that from this hole in the ground in this farmer's field. There is limestone caves in Kansas. I do know that. I don't know if they have a similarly scary hole in the ground, but but I think that would be kind of cool to have, you know, kind of just like literally just like a few feet wide across hole, but underneath of it's this huge underwater cave system.
I like that. I mean, that would make sense with like aquifers and you know, some of the oil and gas industries out there. Like that would make sense. I like it. Where is it going to go? Where are you going to draw it in at?
You know, that is a good question. I think maybe just kind of just down there, little small hole.
I like that it's small.
Underneath of it. I mean, this is all like underground, but underground
there would be
it
the,
kinda
the
drops jack. And then it just kind of spiders out, kind of like a large reservoir stuff. And spiders along.
I like it.
Yeah. But from above ground, it's just, you wouldn't even really know it was there. Some of the local kids and things and people might know that it's there. But unless you knew what you were looking for, you'd never be able to find it.
Yeah, that's cool. Jared, you got any ideas for a landscape?
I do have an idea. I'm taking some inspiration from mine and David's hometown and the Road to Nowhere that for 20 or so years just kind of existed without any type of connection. And we're finally slowly getting there. So I have this thought of a corridor because, you know, Kansas only has like a few interstates running through it, but there's this potential to connect it to the southern states of Oklahoma and Texas and connect to like, I believe it's I-35. Yeah. So potentially connect to like I-35. So I'm going to call this Corridor X. And what this was literally a project where they were attempting to create this corridor between the city in Kansas to reach down to 35. So more traffic could come through. And I'm not sure if construction stopped because of the bombs or it was just one of those things. They ran out of funding and they were waiting for fresh funding, or it was just one of those, like in our town, like a 30-year project that's just been like an absolute logistic nightmare. So I'm going to make our Corridor X here. So we'll have a, let's see here, we've got a winding road.
Like, I can imagine the townspeople being like, oh, we'll be so, like, everybody's lobbying to finish Corridor X. Like, everybody's lobbying to be like, all right, we're gonna do it one day. One day it's gonna be here and it's gonna change everything.
It's terrible, but it'll work.
I like it.
Should have probably picked a different color than yellow, but I'll work on that.
I mean, I like the idea of having this like it's not quite there yet. Like,
it's been a work in progress. So basically you've got, and I don't know if anyone's even invested in putting like businesses, gas stations, anything like that on this asphalt road. It's just kind of exists. Maybe there is a little bit of sprawl that came from like the city down the corridor, but like the further you go, the less there is. And it's just kind of pristine asphalt that eventually just peters out into like dirt in a field.
I like it. All right. I think that's enough for landscape. So next we're going to move on to resources. So what we're going to do is we're going to name an important resource for the community, something we either may have in abundance or scarcity. So we're not going to draw it just quite yet. But like examples of that would be like clean drinking water, adequate shelter, or fish. Choosing a resource makes it important if it wasn't already. So if you pick gasoline, it becomes something your community wants or needs. So let's go ahead and let's pick some resources for what this community is. I'll start, and I will say that this community, a resource that they have is the manifestation of hope.
The manifestation of hope.
They, you know, manifestation of hope.
Okay.
That's something you could have in abundance or scarcity within the world of Fallout.
There really is no in between, is there?
Yeah.
Nope. Jared, what about you? You got a resource? It doesn't have to be something as heady as
like
that,
I know, like, and I don't want to be like water. You know, I don't want to make something like super tangible or anything like that. I think I'm reminded of like the storyline of Jaws, where the folks on Martha's Vineyard are like tourism. Like that is what keeps this place alive. Like the main, we've already established that we have this factory that closed down. That was probably a big part of the previous economy. And I think a lot of what they got in was just sort of outside money. So I think tourism or, is that the term I want to use? Tourism or hospitality, which one do I want to use? Because they survived off being like kind and inviting people in and showing them a good time. And I think during a nuclear winter where you're one of the few places that didn't get hit, that is still going to be something that would be very valuable and something that you like live by the sword, die by the sword thing. I'm going to go with hospitality because I think it's a bit more general than like tourism. It sounds a bit less predatory. So, that is a very high level, non-tangible thing, but I think we can work with it.
I like it. All right, Cody, you got a resource for us?
Can I do a scarcity one?
We will decide after this. It has to be a resource. Like one of these is going to be in abundance and the rest are going to be in scarcity.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. Kind of going with that like theme of, you know, a small town that had one identity and is desperately trying to capture a new one through sort of this tourism thing, get this road built. They have a lot of hope going for it. Something that they would need in order to do that is lots of I guess housing, but like hotels and things like that, essentially. A lot of places that could be lived in, either short-term, like on a short-term sort of availability.
Okay, so we're thinking like vacancies, almost.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because
you're talking about there are like twice as many beds as there are residents, like that right, type of deal. Yeah.
But it could go kind of either way. It could be like, is this new construction that they're trying to get up from outside money being new hotels? It could also be the flavor of, well, there was a lot more people that used to live in this town, but now that some of the jobs have went away, there's a bunch of abandoned houses.
Like empty houses.
It could be fixed up and made nice, but for right now, there's nobody in them. So it could go kind of either way, depending on different circumstances.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to quantify that, like, into, like, I like that. I'm trying to figure out, like, how...
Well, think about Fallout in particular, because, like, when you build a settlement, like, one of your number one resources is beds. Mm-hmm. And to have a place that's got, like, we actually have shelters to put people, you know, like, we may not have water and we may not have food, but we just so happen to be in an area where we can put a roof over a lot of heads.
Yeah.
I think like available real estate. I think it's
so like real estate, like as a
real estate. Okay. Would be I think a good one for what Cody's talking about.
Yeah.
Mine. We're gonna kind of do another round of resource. Mine would actually be animals. Just animals.
Okay. Yeah. Reasonable. We're talking a area that has a lot of farmland and stuff, and yeah.
Animals.
That's, I like it.
Jared, you got one?
Oh, let's see here. So we've got some high level stuff. We got some tangible stuff. let's see here. I'll have to think about this a little bit, like try to mix it up some, because we have some tangibles, we have some like thoughts. I'm curious if there's something like more like, well, you mentioned manifestation of hope, because I was almost thinking like something spiritual, and that's, yeah. I'm trying to think, not necessarily empathy, but sort of like mental fortitude. This is already an area that's gone through like a lot of stress and is having an identity crisis and is only going to be going through a bit more. And I don't really want to turn this into like a quantifying mental health or anything like that.
Would this be like culture? Like to have an abundance of culture in your community, like everybody
or
working
or
together.
Identity. Like a self, like a, or not even like self-actualization, but like maybe identity. Does that make sense? Like, you know, yeah. Like trying to, you have so many people coming in and sort of influencing your life and your home and all this stuff. You don't necessarily want to lose your identity, because that's kind of like, yeah. So maybe we'll, I'll call that like sense of identity. I think that helps like describe that a little bit more.
Cody, do you have a resource to add to the pool?
Wood.
I like wood. It. Simple.
Yeah.
You always need wood.
That's good. Wood. All right, so we have six different resources. So now we're going to choose one of those resources to be in abundance. And whoever named that resource in abundance draws it on the map. And the rest are in scarcity. And the remaining players figure out how to draw a lack of these resources on the map. Remember, common symbols are fine. We also keep track of our abundances and scarcities in a separate thing. So once we decide what's in abundance, that's this community has this in abundance. And the rest they have in scarcity. So what's in abundance? What of these six things, the manifestation of hope, hospitality, real estate, animals, sense of identity, and wood, what's in abundance?
It's pretty real estate. Yeah, like my gut went with real estate first, just the way Cody kind of described the situation, it being a tourist town. That's kind of where my gut went first. I don't know how everyone else feels about that.
I kind of like the idea... I like the idea that like America came in and like brought a bunch of like quick fab homes and like quick fab things to like build up, like, you know how they used to do in like Western towns, they would have like all, everything would be like fab that you come up, but this stuff is all like 1950s quick fab that they're just like throwing up very quickly to try to generate this town. And they're like, oh well, this is gonna be like our world's fair, but it's at the center point of America, so it's gonna be the center of America and we're gonna build all this stuff, but it's like nobody goes to it. So yeah, there's an abundance,
like some of the ghost towns like in China, where they've built these cities with the expectation that people would move in and do something with them, and then it just doesn't happen.
Gosh, you know, an amazing part of that could be, it's like, got all of this outside investment, this road was almost completed because this was going to be like a major like heartland city that was going to be built up, and they built all of these really fancy gated communities. And then nobody showed up to live in them. So you have all of these like really nice houses, really well built communities. Nobody lives in them. All the people in addition, none of the people that actually lived in the town ever had the money to buy any of the houses. So instead of using them, they're just these mansions that are abandoned.
It's like the District 12 housing for the winners. Like no one ever won in District 12 in Hunger Games. So like there's just these mansions that just go like unlived in. But yeah, in addition to like the prefab stuff, in addition to like the hotels / motels where, you know, you're trying to get people to visit, in addition to like trying to get people to like, you know, live here, whatever. So yeah, I think I do like real estate if everyone else likes real estate.
We got a bunch of houses, nobody's in them.
I kind of like that, and I'm thinking about like American history and what like the original founders would like. I'm trying to think of like things that are like specifically American for this, and I'm thinking about John Locke, because his whole thing was like life, liberty, and the right to own property. So like, what if that was like their like they were so focused on like, oh, that's a core tenet of the American value that like we have failed on, and so in this community you can have property, if you come here you can live here. Like, yeah. But nobody comes. So like I'm trying, yeah, to, I'm like, trying to think of a way to like,
you know, visualize beautiful houses with 1 acre plots, coming soon corridor whatever connecting to the great United States interstate system. Yeah, selling on,
it's like, yeah, it's really, it's like this community that had like a bunch of these natural resources. They had this like factory going, they had this like salt flat, yeah, and like mining opportunities, and the town was like, yes, we're gonna be it, we have all of these things going for us, build the houses now, just build them all. And then it just never happened. They never actually blew up, but they put everything in place like they would.
I'm thinking I really like this idea of like what we're describing is like this like perfect suburbia that some developer built. Like the American government built suburbia and no one came.
Yeah.
Or
that's,
you know,
so it's Fallout too.
Or that's, we're like
quintessential.
Or we're like 4 years into a 5 year plan and the bombs fell or something. Oh, like it doesn't, yeah, even, yeah, need to be like,
yes.
It doesn't have to be like a failure to launch. It could have been like,
dude, and that
we were on the cusp. Like, yeah, this was actually like
the abundance of hope. Like they had, like this was going to happen for them. Everything was in place, and then the world just blew up.
So how are we going to draw, you know, in single small drawing, an abundance of this real estate? And I'm trying to think around like, like an initiative, like so, like what would be something that we could draw that would be
okay. I've got an idea. Okay. I'll try to do it. But my thought is a cul-de-sac.
I was gonna
with
say
just like, yeah, houses lining a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
Is the thought. So I'm gonna put it near the south here because that makes sense to me because it's near a corridor X.
Yeah.
But we'll do a let's see here. We'll have our phallic cul-de-sac.
So you're thinking outside of the community?
Well, I mean, this is just kind of representing. So does it need to be in the circle to be inside the community?
I mean, I would. Inside the circle, I think.
Boom. Done. Okay. Wow. I'm going to.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a penis with some gems on it. Wow.
This is
things, can't you?
This is Prince Edward Drive, or Prince Albert Drive, right? It's Prince Albert. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not up on my genital piercing slang.
Me either. That's not something I tend to keep up with. Yeah,
like I think second time this week I've heard about somebody bringing up Prince Albert.
I think we just invented suburbia, or the lack thereof. Now. We've got our cul-de-sac drawn in to show our abundance of real estate. Now we have to come up with how we can symbolize these scarcities. Animals, sense of identity, hospitality, and the manifestation of hope.
And wood.
Wood.
Oh, and wood. Yeah.
I think the scarcity of wood, the easiest thing would probably be like a stump.
Yeah, like there's just been... somebody has cut down a bunch, like there was like a small forest, so I just cut,
and maybe that stump is near where the corridor is.
Yeah, maybe so.
Like,
maybe that's why
this area was like clear cut. Yeah. So I'll get a I'll get cracking on a stump down here.
I would like to think the scarcity of animals is actually due to there being a zoo. That just like they built the zoo, like they have an abundance of real estate, they built the zoo and they tried to house local fauna in the zoo, and like it just wasn't, it was equipped for like lions and tigers and not like whatever's in Kansas, and they all just start dying. And so there's just like this empty zoo that has like two or three animals in it. Like, it's just like, you know, thinking of like kitschy thing. I think that I'm gonna draw that in. The only thing I would say that they actually have in this zoo, is not a local animal, but they did manage to get like an elephant. Like they just like a have what? An
sorry, like also just one pachyderm.
Yeah, they got like one, and that's it. And the rest, like, they accidentally killed.
Or they may have just been like, oh yeah, like maybe whoever the zookeepers were, like it just the animal delivery came before the zookeepers did.
Yes.
Or they bought them from like Gary's Discount Zoo Animals or.
Yes. I like it. You've been working on wood.
Yeah. So I've got a stump down there near Corridor X.
Stump. All right. What about. How do we like represent the hospitality, the manifestation of hope, and the sense of identity in scarcity? Like what? Like what represents that physically?
In scarcity.
In scarcity.
I don't know about the manifestation of hope in scarcity, but hospitality.
The opposite of hospitality would just be like a big middle finger.
Just a lot of guns. Just a lot.
Like just a lot some of guns. NIMBY bullshit. Like.
Yeah, just like a firework gun store like combo that's just like a mega center, and that's like the place to go. Everybody well, knows.
Not so it, are we saying that for sense of identity or hospitality? Because sense of identity, like if you have downgraded yourself to being the place to go for fireworks and that's what you're known for, like that's pretty, that feels pretty America dystopia.
I kind of like that. Like, make it be the, like the Phantom. You know, like you go to the Phantom fireworks. They're always like in South. They've got like the Phantom there that's like showing off the fireworks. Like, that's what you're known for now. That's really what people come for is just the fireworks.
Yeah, because they can buy mortars here, and right, they can on the border states.
I think for sense of identity, I think that makes the.
Okay, I'll try to draw a firework store, and I think that needs to be like, is that in the community or outside of the community? I think that's going to be like,
I think it's like the first thing, like right into
your like on the edge of the community.
Yeah,
it's like that's
this is the first thing you see when you come to this town.
What do you think about hospitality? Then we kind of ran on that. Like, how do we?
Big middle finger.
Draw a lack of hospitality. Like, are we talking
big middle finger? I kind of joke a little bit, but
what if there's a what if? All right, so this is in the corridor idea. What if there's like a border patrol, like a gate that you got to come through to get to town, and it's like, what are you doing? Before you go in, like you gotta have, like it's not even built yet, but they're still like trying to gate people. I think that's a good one for hospitality, of a way to like symbolize that, of just like a big gate. Because that's
because we've gone from being like super welcoming to being super paranoid, because we're gonna have all these people flood into our city, and we want to make sure they're desirable.
Yeah, I like that. I'm gonna draw in a gate here. Kind of like a gate at the front of the community right here. Doors. Oh, that's just my symbol for gate. And I think we got one last one, which is
manifestation of hope.
How do we draw that scarcity?
Lack of the manifestation of hope. I mean,
what is like the symbol of hopelessness and the ability to generate hope?
It's almost like good things happening versus bad things happening. Like I think like when you're losing hope, like maybe store shutting down, maybe that factory is kind of like like a symbol of the loss of hope. Maybe it's a dwindling population or an aging population. Maybe everyone over the maybe the 18 to 25 demographic is just piecing out of this place.
No. I got it.
Okay. What do you got?
The lack of a manifestation of hope would be an end of the world cult who would turn out to be correct.
Oh my God, because like when this stuff starts happening, there is this going to be a massive crisis of faith.
Yes.
Like it's just like the doomsday stuff, and it's like, holy shit, they've been preaching Revelations for a good long while and stuff just happened.
And yeah. They were right.
Yeah, they were the one. They were like, this isn't going to be a thing. Nobody's going to get out of here. We're all going to die. And we're also right.
Yeah.
So, yeah maybe the lack of a manifestation of hope is like, this gives credence to some like cult of personality leader.
The manifestation.
You've got like a David Koresh character that just got a whole big bump in feasibility, and people that like don't feel like going on, they're like, okay, I just need to embrace the end.
Yes. Correct. This is all perfect. How do we draw that? Do we just draw like a little compass?
Oh, you just draw a guy.
We need a cult symbol. We need like a symbol for a cult.
Symbol for a cult.
Okay. All right. Now, hear me out. Do we want to stay independent of the children of Adam?
Yeah, because this is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Okay. Like, do we want like proto? Like, you know, when you think
because
about
it, could be proto. Right? Because, like, yeah, because if this turns out to be a religion, almost every major religion ends up having its own denominations that sprout off sooner or later. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, so, it feels like perfect for that because, like,
I mean, if we call it
people, you have these people who are like preaching, like, yeah, doomsday is coming. Like, prepare. All this good shit you guys are doing isn't going to happen. Prepare for the worst. And then the worst happens, and they're going to be like, this is the sign from our God that we were right all along.
And then, like, future religions, they view this pretty individual as a prophet, so you get these spinoff religions that could eventually be the children of Adam.
Here's an idea.
Okay.
And this is a play on words. Call it Children of a Doom. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the, you know, the Fallout things when you go to look at the, like, Novak, like,
you like go to no look vacancy, at time, yeah.
Yeah, no vacancy. Children of a Doom, and they know that a doom is coming, like, the manifestation of doom is coming. Children of a doom, or something.
A doom.
Or, like, I'm thinking about, like, a doom as, like, a doomsday cult, or it could be, like, the doom. I don't know, but that's kind of like where my brain is going to, of like, I like the idea of like using that word doom when we're talking about like an end of the world cult.
All right, so
just call them doomers. That's what
doomers,
the people who aren't in the cult, just call them the doomers.
Okay, so let me see what we can do here. I'm gonna start with undo. I don't want that. Might have to freehand this, and that's going to be a problem. So freehand, let's see here. That might be too light of a color. Let's go purple. Freehand, so we're going to start with basically this shape that kind of looks like a chunk out of the earth. Maybe like some spike or something. Like, I don't know. Hopefully I didn't create some weird sex thing.
I think you're fine.
It is now.
It's now a sex thing.
Doomers. I like that name. Doomers. Like the children of Adam are like, oh, we will one day see enlightenment through the power of Adam's grace. By the power of Adam, we do all this stuff. And the doomers are like, yeah,
we all gonna die.
Yeah, they're like, What is it from like Da Vinci Code where they like they've got the Catholics, but then you've got the Opus Dei, right? That are like mutilating themselves in the name of whatever. Like that was the bad guy from the Da Vinci Code movie that was played by the Vision from Avengers, Paul Bettany.
Oh, Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
I think that's like an important distinction, though, because like the Children of Adam are like, they're hopeful that they can like reach that enlightenment. The Doomers just believe that there was going to be doom, and they got their doom, but they still have to live in the doom.
Yeah, they were right. Like they were right, but they were hoping the Hellbop comet would take them off the planet. So now they're kind of having a crisis of faith too. That like it happened, but why didn't we go?
Well, we're still here. We had this doom all around us. We were right about that, and we missed our shit town. Are you kidding me?